All right, welcome everyone to Commissioner's Court. We're going to get started. Do we have someone who will volunteer to open our session with prayer today?
Judge, I'll do it.
Okay, great. All right, if you come to the mic, that'd be great. Thank you.
Father, we thank you again for the day that you've given to us to discuss the work that you have for this beautiful county. We ask, Father, you'd bless the leadership that sits on this court, and I ask that you'd give us wisdom as we discuss your work. We thank you for the beauty of the sky and the freshness of the air today. Give us blessings in our day. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you. Now we'll do our pledges.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. On the Texas flag, I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state under God, one and indivisible.
Thank you. You may be seated. Let the record reflect that all of our commissioners are present. Gentlemen, do I have a motion to approve the commissioner's court agenda?
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. I have an item on here for proclamations and resolutions, but there are none. Okay, good. Then do we have a motion to consider the commissioner's court minutes from the regular session dated August 13th, 2019?
Hang on. I got some stuff I need to defer on the agenda.
No, we're going over the minutes. That's coming.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay.
I move on the minute.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Commissioner Riley, you're getting excited this morning.
Okay.
Don't want to miss nothing.
There you go. All right. Do we have any modifications to the consent agenda, Commissioner?
I need to move item 19C.
Page 0?
On page 9. I need to defer that.
That's not consent.
I know. That's what I'm trying to say. I should have done it before you approved the agenda.
You want a 19C, you want to defer it?
I need to defer that.
Perfect.
It's under purchasing, right?
Well, if we're going to defer things on the open agenda, I'm going to go ahead.
You went to it before I was ready.
That's okay. We'll
go ahead and defer 23A as well.
Okay, defer.
Perfect.
Okay.
All right, now that was on the open agenda.
Yeah. We're excited.
Okay, so let's revisit this. Do we on the consent agenda, do I have a motion to accept the consent agenda?
As is.
Second. All in favor?
Uh-huh.
Opposed? All right. Then if we go back to the commissioner's court agenda, do we have a motion to approve the commissioner's court agenda with the changes?
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
I got it.
It's beautiful.
Commissioner, who would have ever thought it would be so agreeable?
Then, yeah, I'm going to tell you, it's all working.
Good thing it's on tape.
Oh, yeah. All right, so we could go to our open agenda. First thing we'd like to do is we do have some citizens who would like to come and share with us. Now, for the citizens who have come, we put these under the category that you have put the agenda item. So we're going to have a couple that are three that will come up immediately, and then when we get to our public hearing, then we will listen to some others, and then we'll have one under miscellaneous at the end. So the first person I'm calling up is Jim Cootie under item 23A is what you want to address.
Thank you. My name is Jim Cootie. I'm an engineer and a wetlands consultant.
Whoa.
That's deferred.
Yeah. And that's deferred.
Did you? Okay. It sure is deferred. Jim, if you'd like to say something, since this is deferred, I'm going to ask you to wait till miscellaneous at the end. All right? Would you do that?
Do we know when this item will be deferred to next meeting?
No, but we'll discuss it.
Okay.
Yeah, but you are welcome at the end under miscellaneous. I don't know how else to do it because we have deferred it. We voted on it. It's a done deal.
Okay.
All right, thank you. Well, we appreciate you being here today. All right, Scott Adair. You're up.
We deferred that.
We deferred that one, too.
I tell you what, man. Anybody would like to speak to... Linda, I don't think we have... Linda Harper? You may. If you repeat your name and tell us what this is about.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Linda Harper, and I'm going to ask a question on 19B on page 9.
We are. So you're going to ask a question?
Yes, sir. Regarding that item, and what I would like to know is how much was already spent for plans, because I noticed this is a change order for $364,052, and I'm assuming since it's a change order, a lot of money was already spent for a design plan and so forth. So my question is, how much was already spent for plans?
Linda, for the record here in this discussion, this is for citizen comments, and for comments on one item or another. We don't get into the exchange, given some issues having to do with noticing. If you'd like to discuss this with your commissioner, I'm sure he'd be available to answer that question for you after commissioner's court.
Yes.
Okay, so my comment, if I may, before
Please.
My 3 minutes is done, my comment would be that I wish it would be public, more details on this item. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. All right. First item, County Judge, consider, discuss, nominate candidates for the 2021 Montgomery Central Appraisal District Board of Directors. I would like to make a nomination of Peggy Hausman for this position.
That was my nomination as well, so I concur with Peggy Hausman. Anybody else?
All we're doing is taking nominations here
we
today.
We have four.
Oh. And then what Jason will do is he will put out a resume.
We have four.
To the necessary people for them to vote. All right. If there are...
You can nominate four if you'd like.
I'm sorry?
You can nominate four if you'd like.
Nominate four or more?
Well, we can nominate four, the Commissioner's Court has one seat on the appraisal district.
Yeah.
Right.
So we get the names here, then they will take them. Jason will come up. He will do research, whoever you have, come up with some resumes and some other things.
Exactly.
So we can then vote intelligently on the one that we want for that position. So all we're doing here is discussing and nominating candidates. I only know of one.
And, Judge, if anybody wants Peggy's resume, we have copies of that.
Okay.
And we can nominate other folks after today?
Yes.
Or is this cut off?
Today's the day.
Huh?
For how
come
long?
Come up, Jason, if you would.
For how long?
So it has to be...
Identify yourself, please.
Commissioners, I believe with the appraisal district, you can nominate up until a certain deadline, until election time, but I'll have to ask them. They have not
October
told me that.
15th.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So. But at this time, they'll accept as many nominations as we're willing to bring forward. There's no limit to the nominations.
But it dilutes our...
Vote.
When we go to vote, yes, sir. When we go to vote later this year, it would dilute your voting strength. Yes.
Over again.
Okay.
Great.
If there are no other nominations, we know that we have one. Then let's move on to a budget item. Amanda?
We didn't vote on that, did we?
No.
No.
It's not yet. No.
Judge, Commissioners, I'm here. Next Commissioner's Court, I intend on bringing an updated budget policy to reflect any changes that we discussed today that will be in effect for the new upcoming 2020 budget. Some of the reason that I kind of wanted to come up today is during the workshop, you guys did make some significant changes to the budget, from the preliminary budget to the proposed budget that's going to file tomorrow. Some of those changes are, you know, where we're paying a lot of things from the commissioner's budgets versus paying them from the general fund. So I wanted to make sure that everybody understood kind of the process of how we can help kind of control our budget from being totally out of whack when we get to this point next year.
Right.
So some of those ways that you can do that is through your budget policy. And so some of the ideas that I kind of have that I wanted to kind of, before I bring you a policy, is to kind of have that discussion on whether or not you guys think they're good ideas or not, is one of the ones is that positions that become vacant, we drop to the minimum grade, to the minimum pay of that grade. So right now, if a position has somebody that's been in that position for, you know, say 10 or 15 years, and that position is graded maybe at 76,000, but the minimum for that position is 54,000, you guys could put in the budget policy that any positions, once they become vacant, could be go back to the minimum, where it basically would end up saving you, instead of people hiring right at the same point that somebody left. Gives you a little bit of flexibility, and, you know, now if they wanted to hire above that minimum, you know, they could still bring everything to Dodi and I, but just kind of an idea of, you know, potentially not bringing a new hire on at the same rate that the person who's leaving has been here 20, 25 years. It's just one of the ideas, you know. I have five that I kind of want to discuss with you guys today. Do you have any feedback on that particular item?
Your language, would or could reduce to minimum?
It would be would, yeah. Well, so what we want to do, Commissioner, is if they want to hire above the minimum, we want them to bring it to Dodi and I to review as to what the reasoning is for them to do that. And if you wanted to set up some kind of committee or something, a compensation committee or something at that point, you could. But it is to – what we're seeing is most of the people, when somebody leaves and it's a new position, they're hiring – or it's a not a promotion position. It's somebody that they're hiring from the outside. They tend to still bring that person in at the same salary that the former person came in at. So if you didn't like that idea, any kind of direction that you might give us to kind of, you know, what we're trying to do is, we see a lot of times where a new person will come in over a tenured employee, and instead of promoting that tenured employee, they bring somebody, you know, new in off the streets, and then, you know, you get into this where...
Well, an experience level has to have something to do
with absolutely.
Hiring.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. I mean, I think if we say that if a tenured employee leaves and we move that salary for that position back to minimum, we'd have trouble hiring anybody, probably. That knew anything about what was going on. I mean,
And so then at that point that you could trust Dodi and I to, if they can't have, I mean, we had the same conversation with environmental.
Yeah, are you going to budget for minimum? That's the thing.
So in the end, what we end up doing is sweeping the changes in the salary. But if in the end that, after reviewing, you know, the resume or whatever Dodi wants to do, you know, says, okay, look, I think this person really, they have a ton of experience. We'll put this people, the minimum is 53. Let's give this person 60,000. So we take.
But they're not going to have money in their budget to do that.
Well, I mean,
follow through with what you're saying.
No, you could, because you could allow you could allow us to put it back in if they were to after the review. What we're asking is to actually start that process of actually somebody reviewing those, because right now no one.
So what you're saying? See, we have a person that's making 60, minimum is 40, and they leave. You're going to sweep 20,000 from a department head or an elected official's budget and only allow them to pay 40 unless they come to court and get more money for the experience? To me, that's a little complicated.
I mean, that's what I'm here to kind of get some feedback. It's, again, just one of the ideas that I had to, I mean, right now you've approved $4.8 million of expenses that are going to hit the 2021 budget that either the commissioners approved for or they approved in fund balance.
Amanda, what, and I'm glad you brought that up, commissioners, kind of a picture I think we need to have painted for us is, we are under a new reality with SB2, and SB2 is going to limit our ability for our budget to grow. It is going to be capped at 3.5%. At best, this year, we would have seen just about $9 million had we adopted the SB2 tax rate. Fortunately, we adopted a lower rate in the effective rate. But what Amanda is trying to say is, we have already spent roughly $5 million of at most a potential of $8 or $9 million in the 2021 budget. We have no room for any expenditures this entire next budget year of 2020. There is nothing really that we can approve that is not going to negatively impact us going forward. So Amanda's trying to bring forward a solution in which we can try to pull some of this money back and set it aside in case we need it.
But in the event that we, let's use the commissioner's Commissioner Metter's scenario, 40 and 60, in the event that we find somebody that is experienced, and even though they would start at 40, they have commensurate experience, and we know they can come in and do the job, we have the ability to bring them in at the 60,000, correct, or 55 or whatever. Which, correct me if I'm wrong, because I've not heard this, you're bringing this up to us now, but you're allowing us to go back to give us some flexibility, but doesn't mean we have to go there.
Correct. So, right, I will tell you, most of the cases, I'm not going to single out any specific department or elected official, but I would say it's close to 7 out of 10 times they're going to hire that person at the maximum salary that they have. It just doesn't happen very often that somebody comes in where they don't fill that position at the salary that the previous person came in at. It's very, very rare that happens.
We've done it here, Amanda.
We don't do that in precinct.
We don't do that. I mean, we hired a county engineer. We didn't hire him at what Mark Mooney was making with 34 years experience. I mean, that's a call by the court. To me, this is.
If you don't want to do it, it's fine. I'm just trying to get some direction today as to what we can do. If you're not interested, I can go over some other options.
And the budget process is the budget process. That's when we do this. But I don't want us to have to say, look, what we did last year with effective tax rate, we're going to have to hold that based on the backs of our employees. I don't want to do that. Personally, I don't. It should be, I don't think we should say you will hire somebody at minimum. That's. I don't like that word.
But I don't think that's what you're saying, though, is it?
Okay, so, I mean, again, Commissioner, I don't have anything in still. You're not voting on anything today. What you're doing is giving me some direction so that I can come back next week or next Commissioner's Court and bring you something to actually vote on. So if you want me to change the verbiage from would, you know, will to could.
Can I ask a question? When maybe, Dodie, you can help. When we're looking for somebody, we put out a salary expectation when we do that. Okay, so let's say it is 40, but we don't want a $40,000 person. So we're looking for speed because knowing that they'll have very minimal experience. If the max is 60, we could put out this position pays $55,000. Is that correct?
Well,
speak into the ear. Go ahead.
I would normally recommend when we post a job that we put out a range, and the range being the minimum to either the midpoint, depending on what it's budgeted for, or the minimum to the maximum, the minimum to what it's budgeted for. That way it should still be within that particular grade range.
It's pretty much what we do now.
Yes, sir.
I mean, I think it's a good idea. I don't get to change
Well, gives us some, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Amanda, don't we already have the flexibility to, like Commissioner Metter has said, you know, we brought Jeff in at less money than what was paid previously to the previous guy, correct?
Yep.
Aren't we already doing it?
Yeah, this would just give her the ability to take that money off the table, sweep it, and put it aside for another purpose. Should it, for example, we have another hurricane and we need to, you know, spend $1 million. Like we did during Hurricane Harvey. Right now, that's going to be tougher for us to do because of how closely we budgeted to the tax rate this time. I think it's good. I think it is going to keep the budget from growing unnecessarily. If a department head or elected official can't hire somebody at that minimum, they have the ability to go to Dodie and Amanda, and they'll increase it based on whatever needs to happen. But at least in the interim, for example, not picking on the library, but if you have a shelving clerk that you want to hire, and you might have had a shelving clerk that's been there 12 years, and, you know, maybe she's making $15 an hour or he's making $15 an hour, and the base rate is $13 an hour. Well, you're going to get a shelving clerk no matter what. That person made a little bit more because they've been here longer. Let's take that $2 off the table, hire them in at $12, and away we go. Or the same thing if it's, you know, a lawn maintenance guy. You know, we're not talking about trying to hurt employee morale by any means. What we're saying is just because someone had been here a long time and they left, we don't have to replace them with that same type of person. And if they need to, if they need to. Well, but she's saying 7 out of 10 times we do.
I would say that we do do that. I mean, if you look at most of the, if you look at most of your PCRs that you had today, most of those PCRs are hired at the same amount of as the budgeted salary.
Do they have experience to go along with that money? I mean, you can't compare one employee to the other. I mean, it's all different. Every new hire is a new hire.
I completely agree with you, and that's why I don't think that you can have a blanket. You know, I think that there has to be some exceptions, and that's why I said after, you know, a conversation between, you know, the department head or elected official and our office and HR, we can actually at least start that process. Right now, there's no conversation. People are just hiring at the maximum or hiring whatever they want. And so what I'm trying to do is kind of open that dialogue of having that conversation of, do you think that maybe you can hire somebody maybe $2,000 less? $2,000 is still $2,000 that in the end, maybe, you know, once they become a really, you know, tenured employee, yeah, maybe it's worth giving them that.
Commissioner Metz, what do you think?
That's why I'm telling break the tie.
I mean, honestly, because, I mean, if you're running a business, we're looking to get the best people for the least amount of money in business.
That's the way I've always done in private business. I mean, some people I hired in at less than others, the more experienced and the people that I didn't have to watch all the time, that I could count on them to take care of business. They're certainly going to make more money. But I'm leaning toward Commissioner Metter. I'm a little bit uncomfortable. I don't want to dictate to a department head or another elected official automatically what they're going to pay someone. We hire department heads. The people elect us and expect us to use our best judgment in hiring practices or the other things that we do. Whatever your position is, a commissioner, a constable, or whatever, that the people put you in there and count on you to do your best. And if you don't, then you're subject to get kicked out. Or if you're a department head and you don't do your job right, you're subject to get kicked out from the court. So,
if we were to take a poll of the people in Montgomery County, I promise you, in the business community, whatever, because it's tax dollars. And they'd want us to hire the most experienced for the least amount of money, but they wouldn't want us to sacrifice if we needed to pay full price to get the right person. As I'm seeing this, correct me if I'm wrong, you're not saying that we're going to throw that part out and automatically hire them at the new. You're just giving us another option should we decide to do it, which I think that makes a lot of sense. How would we change the language so it would say that then?
Could. Change the word would to could.
Okay, and then how do... Do, if they are outside of that, do I bring them to you guys first?
Or they have to do a PCR on a new hire anyway, don't they?
Either could or would or may or shall.
Control.
Okay.
Right there. And you grade them, and that's what y'all do. And if you set a value and the department or elected official wants to pay more, then they can come to court.
Well, Commissioner, we grade the PDQs, the position description questionnaire. Once the PCR, which is the payroll change request form, gets to HR, that's after they've offered the job to the candidate. So that means they've already offered the job
and
they've accepted it.
Maybe I've got the word wrong, but they do go through your department.
Yes, sir.
With a new hire.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean,
it works the same way, but seems to me it works the same way, but gives you more control in what you can plan for, correct?
Gives who more control?
In accounting and the budget.
I don't see where it gives the department head or anybody else more control doing that. I don't see that.
It gives the court more control over the budget. It's a budgetary function.
You're presenting some options here as well, as opposed to just automatically bring them in on the top end.
I'm sorry. And I have a couple more options, too, that, you know, we can discuss.
Good. Let's move on.
Okay.
I agree. Thank you. Appreciate that, Commissioner Nowak. Let's move on.
Okay, so we do have some elected officials that have asked us, you know, if they have a court clerk 4 open, but they only got enough applicants to fill a court clerk 2 or a court clerk 3, can we bring that position down to a court clerk 3 so that they can fill that position instead of filling that position with really somebody that's not qualified? So my recommendation is positions can be downgraded at any point unless position is currently filled. So sure. If somebody wants to move a court clerk 4 down to a court clerk 2, that they have the option to do that without having to come to commissioner's court to do so.
Think
you guys
great.
Allow the budget yeah, office absolutely. To do that. Yeah. Happens, you know, there's a ton of departments that this would affect.
Absolutely.
Right.
I agree with that
one. Okay, so we've talked about a mid-year budget. Do we want to limit anything in the policy about adding positions between now and the mid-year budget in the budget policy? Just asking, I'm not telling you.
Do we want to do what again? Say that again.
No new position request until the mid-year unless approved by budget and HR. So if somebody needs, you know, I'm just going to pick
new
on.
New positions or replace positions?
New positions. Yeah, new positions. So let's.
Yeah,
I'd be in favor of that.
I think
Me
we
too.
Should
Great.
Limit that.
We gave a lot of thought to the budget.
Okay. We kind of talked about this before, but anytime a position that has a salary supplement becomes vacant, we remove that salary supplement.
Correct.
Still everybody's in favor of that?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Say it again.
Removing the salary supplement when the position becomes vacant. So some position has a car allowance.
Okay.
We take that.
Yeah. And while we're talking about that, what are you going to do with the existing auto allowances? Just make sure you bring something to court, next court, mm-hmm. to address that, please. Employees that currently have an auto allowance in their salary.
Okay.
Need to get that fixed. Thanks.
Wait a minute. What are you saying?
We discussed in budget hearings for Amanda to bring us a solution on either just rolling that into the salary.
For deputies?
No, for non-law enforcement. We did all the law enforcement people. We haven't done it for the rest of them. And some people have an auto allowance in their salary and some don't, and they have the same types of jobs.
Some people have
or the exact same job.
Bring a motion that we will roll that into the salary. How's that?
Yeah, so because some people have a salary supplement, and with the salary supplement, they're actually under, without their salary supplement, they're under the minimum on their position.
But the topic, Amy, correct me if I'm wrong, has not been noticed. We need to put that as an item on the next agenda, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so that you can move on to the next one.
So it's budget policy,
yeah.
So it follows
yeah.
the agenda. Good.
Okay, the last one I have is an exception to the budget policy, like we've talked about before, for traffic. Now that we're shifting the way that that's being funded, IT, building maintenance, and adult probation. Currently, 3 of the 4 already have an exception to the budget policy, meaning that they can't transfer more than $3,000 without it coming to commissioner's court first. So we want to keep that into play. We just want to add traffic to that in case, you know, we have to, because my understanding is, right now, in the proposed budget, the traffic operations will be in, the people will be in 50319, which is an IT department.
Correct.
And then Commissioner Riley and Commissioner Nowak, you guys will charge to those departments and we'll actually do a budget transfer to cover the cost related to the operations of those not.
Well, the operations will be separate. They won't be in 50503. The operations will still be in 6147. And we just split that 75-25. Only the people are going to IT.
Just for signals?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
The operating budget stays in our departments.
What about my signal?
You didn't pay for it. You got to do that one yourself. No, we'll charge you by the hour.
Okay. Is there any other recommendations you guys have for me on the budget policy that I haven't kind of? Thrown in there, thrown out there.
But so you're clear on traffic, yeah. How to handle it. So that doesn't apply.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Great job.
One other element. Did you ever do anything, or have we talked about, I know you started to, doing anything about how we designate monies into, quote-unquote, this emergency or this reserve account that we have, contingency? So that there are various categories of contingency.
Right.
We've already done that, haven't we?
Yeah. So, okay. So we're going to bring that in the proposed budget that we file tomorrow, we'll have it designated between the contingency balance that's right now. Well, that's built into the 2020 budget.
Yeah.
We'll have that broken out. so you can see that.
Thank you.
And then basically what will happen is, the biggest one, oh my gosh, I can't believe I didn't talk about this, the law enforcement vacancy savings. That's another one that we really do need to discuss. Do you guys want to continue the constable's office, the district attorney, the county attorney, fire marshal's office to continue doing the budget vacancy savings where they get to use their vacancy savings for supplies, training?
No, we addressed this in the budget hearings. We were clear.
Trying to tell you.
Want to make sure that everybody's, there's a little bit of confusion. A lot of people, some people asked me about it, so I just want to make sure we're all on the same page on that. Okay, so I'll bring a budget policy that reflects all of those.
Thank you.
Thank you, Amanda.
Thanks.
All right, Bobby, IT, information technology. I'm sorry.
Good morning, Judge. Good morning, Commissioners. I'd like you guys to consider the agenda item as written.
Does this have anything to do with the at the end on executive session when we're talking about a countywide facilities access control and security program? Do these two connect?
I guess in some ways they do. This is actually a person to actually go and do the physical labor of installing cameras for us.
Would anyone have an objection if we waited to address this until after executive session so we can discuss exactly what will be going on with this person?
I have no problem with that.
Judge Metz,
let's defer until after the executive.
I don't have a problem. I'm funding it, but
is it yours?
Yeah. I'm paying for it, but we can discuss it back there further if you would like.
Okay.
You're paying for it, Commissioner?
I didn't realize that you were taking it out of your own budget.
Okay, then do we have a motion to approve?
Yeah, you want
to
fund it.
I'm funding it, so I move.
Is there a second? Is there a second?
So will you fund this the next budget year?
Is this your employee, or are you going to fund it
discussion.
Next year?
For 19 and 20, right, Phyllis? Is that what we agree?
Is this going to affect next year's budget?
Yeah, I mean, like 2021, it'll be another $100,000 in the hole.
It'll be for 2021... $67,272.57.
That with benefits and everything?
Mm-hmm.
$67,222. Got it.
Is that going to be your employee, Commissioner, or IT, and you're just funding this year?
No, it's IT. Right.
But you're not going to fund next year?
20. The rest of this year, 19 and 2020. After that.
You're not going to do 21.
Yeah.
With that in mind,
after that, Commissioner Nowak can fund it. I'm good for 19 and 20.
We still have to deal with 20, though.
No, 21.
And 21.
Toward 21, I mean.
Yeah.
And would you guys mind if we back that motion up and let's talk about this after executive session?
He's funding it. He made the motion.
He's got a motion. I got a second.
Okay, but we're still in discussion. That's why I'm asking. Because we're bringing up 21 now, too, right? You're funding 21, too, also?
No.
Okay, 19, so we are incurring something down the road here for the next budget, right?
Mm-hmm. For 21, yes.
I'm at the commissioners. I'm serving the commissioners here. What would you guys like to do? You want to just vote on it right now?
I made a motion already.
Okay, we got a second. We're in discussion. All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? I'm opposed.
I just stay neutral on that.
Okay.
So.
Thank you, Judge. Thank you, Commissioner.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Commissioners. All right. Treasurer.
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners. I am here today for two items. One is the approval of the investment policy, and the other for the approved broker-dealer list. I sent you all a memo attached with your backup highlighting the differences between the policy that was approved last year and the policy that was approved this year. Are there any questions?
I move.
Second.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
All right. Second item, the approved broker-dealer list. You'll note on that item, it is the exact same as last year. That's because there are questions revising the application, and so we will then bring forward a new list after we get those revised applications.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Melanie, before you leave,
This is Keith McDaniel, our public member, who y'all
yes.
approved in March.
Yep.
He and I and Judge Keogh and then the advisors to the committee, Rakesh Pandey and Jan Avery and John McKinney, have all worked very closely and hand-in-hand to revise this policy, and we really appreciate
Good
your
deal.
Approval.
Keaton, thank you for being here today.
Thanks, Keaton. Good to see you. Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right. Sheriff.
Good morning.
Morning.
Under 15A, we ask that you consider and approve the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office Civilian Detention Officer Incentive Retention Program. Program will go into effect October 1st. Program has been approved by County HR, and the salary increases will be funded via the Sheriff's current position funding. So this is similar to what you passed last year with our telecommunicator ones and twos. All of our DOs, detention officers, represented here in the back in the gray uniforms, they make the same on day one as those that retire at year 25. So what we're doing is, and through an incentive program, is to have them meet certain educational standards, which is an intermediate TCOL certificate. So with that, through years of service and certain specified training as dictated by TCOL, they would qualify for an intermediate certificate. So of our 200 or so detention officers that we have, only 10 would qualify at this point. There is no incentive for them to do some of this training that you would consider something that we need every one of them to do. Mm-hmm. So some motivation, some retention efforts, and I think this is a great program for the jail.
So in essence, it gives you the ability to have detention officer one, detention officer two, detention officer
just
three?
Just two at this point. One and two. Just like telecommunicator ones and twos. They have different standards for telecommunicators, although they're also TCOL certified. The jail stuff's more stringent. So it would be just those 10 right now, and it looks like about 16 could qualify if they got all their courses in.
And Amanda, budget dollars are available for this in his current budget?
Yes, both his current and next year's.
I move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Sheriff, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate what you do mm-hmm. for us. All right, Constable Precinct 4.
Hey, Rowdy.
Morning, Judge, Commissioners.
Good morning.
Item 16A.
Constable.
Item 16A, I'd like for you to approve and request as it is read, the position transfer.
And that's going over to Darren?
Correct.
Cool.
And everybody's happy with this?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Mm.
Motion carries. Was that opposed? All in favor. All right. All right, elections. Susie.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
I need to take item 17B first because it affects item 17A.
Okay.
I'd like you to consider and approve an order changing the Magnolia early voting polling location.
I move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you. Also, please consider and approve the early voting locations and times for the November 5th, 2019 election.
Move.
I have a motion. Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
And item 17C, please consider and approve an order to consolidate county election precincts for the November 5th, 2019 election.
And motion approved.
Before we jump to that voting, Susie, I talked to you about an email that you sent to Evan on this topic, and we talked about it briefly, and you were going to follow up and see. But one of the things that concerned me was that in the email you stated that Conroe ISD had asked that in precinct consolidations that include a precinct with a CISD school polling location, that the school be designated as the polling place where possible. And a particular example is they wanted to move voting from the South County Community Center to Lamar Elementary. And you didn't think that was a good idea. I didn't think that was a good idea because people always vote at the community center. So in the consolidation of these precincts, was any preferential or deferential treatment given to CISD and school locations, or did we stick to how we normally follow the policy?
No, no changes were made based on that request. And actually, that particular consolidation wasn't requested specifically. It was just a general request. And they did ask where possible. And the recommendation is the same as we generally do it and didn't change any locations.
Perfect. Thank you. I move.
Second?
Second.
Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Susie, thank you very much. Rakesh. Oh, Rakesh is not with us there.
Hey.
Please consider and approve the payment of counts.
Move. Second? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. Purchasing Gilbert, number 19.
Good morning. First item is an architectural design services agreement for the Magnolia Community Center with Martinez Architects for an amount not to exceed $70,000.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Sir, and the second is change order number 3 to Dannenbaum Engineering Agreement for Commissioner Precinct 4 project. The total amount is $364,052.
Motion to approve.
I move reluctantly.
Second, reluctantly.
All in favor?
I didn't know you could move reluctantly.
Whoa.
I second reluctantly.
We only have two categories, yes and no. Yes, reluctantly. No, let's add a category. Are we allowed to do that, Amy? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Gilbert.
Yes, sir. We deferred item C.
Okay.
Yes. All right. Grants. Rebecca.
Good morning, Judge Commissioners.
Morning.
Please consider and approve the grant application as stated on the agenda.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to, in just a moment, we're going to recess, but I would like to go back to an item on our agenda. And Amy, if you could help me with this, when it has to do with our nomination of our appraisal district board of directors, do we need to approve a resolution that we're moving forward on this?
If you're ready to approve the resolution today, I know you gave one name, which was Peggy Hasman. You need to vote on that.
But we still have to look at resumes, and they still have a chance to.
Yeah, we need to leave it open.
You can leave it open. You don't have to move today. However, if you wanted to take action today on Peggy Hasman, you could.
Okay.
Could always supplement that.
We can take action on each individual as we.
You can
send them to
up to October.
Doesn't mean
the
15th. Position. Just means that we get up to four nominees, and then.
Well, you can have.
Then we have to send them out, but this comes.
Have
from
other nominees.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd say let's. I would move.
That's fine. I'll
that.
Second that. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We
voted on Peggy, or are we voting on?
We're voting on, we need four people. This is one of the four.
And we still have, if
she
I...
She may not be it, but we got to move forward with, we got four choices.
We have an October...
Mr. Millsap, come up, if you would please, and just quick explanation.
Commissioners, we actually don't have four nominees. We can do 1, 2, 3, 4, 10, it doesn't matter. But we have till October 15th to provide our nominees to the district. So if we're going to move forward with one nominee today, it's still at any time any one of you can bring back another nominee, and I can send another resolution adding that list.
Because they're the people that we send these nominees to are the ones that are making the decision, correct?
After October 15th, the district will send all of the nominees from all the taxing entities in the county to each of the taxing entities, and we'll have our votes based on our strength.
We have X amount of votes.
Yes.
Exactly.
As a taxing entity, and if we have four candidates,
it dilutes
that. Divides our vote by four. If we have one, we can throw all our votes behind that candidate.
That is correct.
Correct.
Yes.
Cumulative voting.
Okay, so a motion is on the table. There was a discussion. I'm going to re-vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Thank you all very much.
Thank
All right, now we're going to move to our public hearing. And as we do that, there are some individuals that are with us today that would like to make comment. So the first person I would like to invite up would be David Vogt. David, are you here? There we go.
On David.
All right. Commissioners.
And you're on item 21A2, correct?
So we're recessed from Commissioner's Court.
I'm sorry?
We've recessed Commissioner's Court and in our public hearing.
Okay. We'd like to recess Commissioner's Court and move to a public hearing.
Hey. Judge?
Yes. We are having, right this second, 21A2.
A2.
This is what the comment is on. Our citizens have come. I apologize. Proceed.
Okay. My name is David Vogt, and I've been practicing civil engineering in the county for about 40 years. So I've seen a good deal of change. The FEMA maps have been modified twice, and the first adoption of the FEMA maps, as we got into it and using those models and so on, we saw that there were a great deal of problems with those. The one of the things I've done in my career is team with another firm and wrote the current county regulations on drainage. There were no detailed development criteria on drainage prior to that. I would urge you, because I've seen so much change in regulations and so on, and we're going to be in a time where we have to recognize we're going to be making a lot of changes. We have the technology to do a much better job than we used to. And the item in question there is the removal of one of the tools that we've used to manage floodwaters, and I think throwing that out altogether should entail some more detailed thought. And it's been my experience that making big changes in regulatory authorities has been, in many cases, most cases, brought before the engineering community for review and comment. And that's what I'm here to ask you to do. I believe that I believe the engineering community should have a chance to look at this and speak with the engineering department, and I think it should be considered more. I don't know that it absolutely should not be done, but this has been a tool to see in many cases that we don't increase the peak by detaining in the wrong place in the watershed.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your comment.
You're welcome.
Next individual is Paul Krausen.
Paul.
Good morning.
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners. Paul Krausen, Precinct 4. My comments are about that because I saw that, looked through it, and I didn't see nearly enough information. I concur with this gentleman before me. I think y'all should defer this for a while and look at it in detail. And I would say that you should also have a few folks in the community that have been affected by this as private citizens in the at the table with this to look this over before you make those kind of decisions. That's my comments about it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it very much. And there is one more. Jeffrey Miller, are you here?
Morning, Commissioners.
Good morning.
I'm here to echo what, and I'll just back up and say I'm a resident of North Harris County. I'm in Elm Grove Village, and I'm on the southern border of Montgomery County, northern side of Harris County, and live in Elm Grove. And we did suffer catastrophic flooding on May the 7th. And I've been in contact with Bob Rehack, who has a website, Reduce Flooding. Mm-hmm. And I've kind of helped along and done research and whatever else anyway. I've just come to the conclusion that I've read in many places that lack of retention contributes to flooding. And I don't know if that's debatable here today or not. That's not really why I'm here. It's just that I've heard, though, that or read, and in some cases, some experts, I guess, one including Jeff Johnson with the Montgomery County Engineering, that flooding routing studies can be deficient due to they don't have a cumulative, they don't consider a cumulative effect on other developments. They can be based on outdated hydraulic studies, and they assume, in some cases, as ideal storm conditions, which doesn't always happen. So I would urge that you do away with this loophole, what some people are calling a loophole. I guess what I'm hearing is that you're going to defer on this vote today. Is that correct?
We're discussing it. It's a public hearing
okay.
right now.
Okay. But I'm just emphasizing I did not come here to argue against urbanization. Sure. I think, Harris County is in a boom situation, especially with New Caney. You know, I've looked at what's going to happen here, and the growth is just phenomenal. And I think urbanization is great, but, you know, it has to be controlled, and certainly controlling flooding seems to be a number one public safety issue, at least for the residents, I would say, for Montgomery County and for North Harris County. And I can't imagine, going through the next rain with something that got coined as rain anxiety, in that every time it rains, you're worried about what's going to float down. I know for the Woodridge, development, they're still in the process of putting detention ponds in, and we're all kind of on pins and needles until they get them all installed. Unfortunately, they didn't get them in time to avoid the May 7th, and we're just hopeful that Montgomery County takes a look at this and does it the hard way. I usually believe that the hard route, not the easy route, is usually the best way to go, and I think, going with your detention pond policy that apparently you had in the past, is that correct, before you decided to go with the flooding studies?
Well, for another discussion, but okay. we can discuss
that. All right.
That.
Thank you. Thank you we for have listening data. To me. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much. Amy, I have a question in terms of procedure. Since
sure.
we have taken these public messages, are we required or should we stay on number two of this
yes.
item and discuss it now, or should we? Can we go
yes.
back to one and then in its order and then go back to two?
Two.
Stay on two.
Mm-hmm. Stay on
All
two.
Right. Jeff Johnson, are you here? There's no more public hearing?
We are still in the public hearing, right?
Yeah.
We're still in the public hearing. This is
That's
noticed.
That's correct, yes.
Yeah.
Good morning, Judge.
Good morning, Jeff.
Commissioners.
Good
morning.
Jeff, how are you?
Good.
Good.
Good. I've proposed eliminating what we call the beat the peak that some developers and their engineers utilize to avoid detaining the increase in runoff caused by their developments. When they say we get all our runoff into the stream or creek or fire ditch or the river before the peak, it sounds great, but the fact is that it only happens in a very select storm that only covers a single basin, and it only works if it quits raining before the peak comes. If it's still raining when the peak comes, it adds to the water surface elevation. Or another way would be, if it stops raining, some of these basins we have are 2 or 3 day time of concentration, but it could easily start raining again in 2 or 3 days and add to the water surface elevation. Another thing that they don't take into account is the widespread rainfall patterns that we have. When we get a 100-year event, it rarely rains on just one watershed. It rains on several watersheds, and the way our watersheds are set up here in Montgomery County, the rains could fall below the watershed that they want to develop, and so the receiving streams could already be at 100-year water surface elevation before it ever rains on the development that does not have detention, and that can cause 100-year water surface elevation to increase. Most of the developments we do, we require them to route their increase in runoff through a detention pond and then release it at a pre-development rate so as not to change the water surface elevation. And in these cases, they're letting the water gush into the streams undeveloped or undetained, and I don't think it's a very good practice. I don't believe it's in the public interest. I think it's hocus-pocus, and I think it's smoke and mirrors, and I don't believe it for a second.
So you are suggesting that we would move forward with this recommendation?
I believe this should be eliminated as soon as possible.
And this practice, though, has been the longstanding practice in Montgomery County and many other counties for
Not that I've found many other counties.
Okay, well, at least this county. And
I'm not here to impugn anybody, but I think
it's open to
hogwash.
Because others come and they'll tell us that you can actually end up exacerbating a flood in a flooded situation by detaining this water and sending it downstream.
Send their runoff downstream then, if that's the case.
Well, you're going to
extend that time of concentration and allow the runoff to be what is pre-developed. That way you're not impacting anything.
Go ahead. Yeah. What is the percentage of developments right now in Montgomery County that have detention methodology?
Well, I asked Dan to look up, and just offhand, he came up with 14 large subdivisions that we're allowing this. And
allowing what?
This beat the peak.
Okay, how many have detention, though? We got out of all of the developments in Montgomery County, what is the percent that already have detention?
Well, I don't know about the acreage, but I'd guess 95%.
Okay, so 95% of Montgomery County already has detention.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And we're talking, you just said, 11? So how many developments use beat the peak?
At least 14. You know, okay. And the problem is that I have 14 different engineers telling the county that we could just allow this runoff to go into the creek and there's no impact. But they're not talking to each other, and there's a cumulative impact that builds up. And we might could solve this when we get the new model that SCRA is doing and require the developers to show by that model that they're not impacting the water surface elevation.
Well, is my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, as you just mentioned, this particular one with the criteria, then we also have another couple studies going on by some independent engineering firms that was funded by a grant for about $3.1 million, of which us, Harris County Flood Division, Conroe, and the City of Houston all are waiting on the results of that right now. And I don't think there's a person up here that doesn't want to solve this problem right now, Jeff. We all do. But we've got other studies that are in the loop right now that we've participated in and we're waiting on.
Right.
So it might you see, but here's
I don't know if those studies are tied directly to this beat the peak problem that I'm addressing here.
Well, they do have to do with drainage, and we've all participated.
Oh, no
and
doubt.
Before we just make this decision, I'm not saying we shouldn't make the decision.
I don't know if they're tied to this beat the peak or not, Jeff, but I think we need to wait and see what the studies say. If we got SJ San Jacinto River Authority doing a study, and we've got
it's independent.
Harris County Flood Control doing studies, and working with those guys. I think we need to wait on the study, see what it says. If it doesn't say anything about the beat the peak, I still think we need to slow down on this, and I still think we need to have discussions on, I've heard the word voodoo, and I've heard the word smoke and mirrors, and I've heard the word magic, and I've heard all kinds of words about how they do this. I don't know what any of them mean. I do know that I don't see there's any way that we can hold anybody's feet to the fire for September the 1st. I know that shouldn't be there.
Jeff,
I think we need to slow down, put this off for a while, find us we can sit down and discuss this, come up with another solution further on down the road where we can give folks time to get their stuff together and get things done the way we want them to do that. But the September the 1st is way too soon.
I agree, I know what Jeff's telling me. I heard David. You hear different stories, and obviously I'm not smart enough to figure out who's right. And what we need to do, that's, I think, the engineering community, I think county engineer office needs to have input and bring us a viable solution. But I think, and I agree with Charlie, timing is huge for me. I mean, up on this end of the county, we've got a tremendous amount of development going on. People are in the process of doing contracts on property based on what our drainage study says right now. And if we change that in midstream and their purchasing equation, it may make that that subdivision or that development not viable anymore. So, and that's going to be a problem, is figuring out how to cut it off. And I agree, I think September 1st is way early for it, but where we go with it, I think that's still work in progress. I don't think we're ready to do that today, but let's keep in mind how we can cut this off and not affect any investors that are already in the loop. So that's.
I got one more question, Jeff, and I don't know if anybody here can even answer that. What does it take to update the old models I keep hearing we're using? What's it take to update those?
Dan? We've had that conversation.
Well, I have
how
too.
How much it is.
It's anywhere from 3 years to $25 million or more.
Dan?
Good morning, Commissioners and Judge. As your floodplain administrator, I am work with the Texas Water Development Board and FEMA to oversee our flood insurance rate maps. The modeling behind those maps is what produces the floodplain analysis, the 100-year. That the modeling is what everybody's asking about. Our modeling, for better or worse, was not updated with the 14 updates. It was basically update based off of LIDAR. So our modeling is very old. In talking with Texas Water Development Board and FEMA, when I threw out the number $25 million to update, Manuel Russo, who is the NFIB coordinator for the state of Texas, said that's probably not outlandish.
It's probably not outlandish.
So we're talking about a significant advancement. There have been several references to the San Jacinto Watershed Drainage Study Project. That is actually in coordination with Harris County Flood, who's lead, San Jacinto River Authority, Montgomery County, and the City of Houston.
Mm-hmm.
We're hoping that we'll be able to get some answers from that, maybe that will help this question and conversation. But I do want to highlight that modeling is not to update our farms. It will not get us all the way. It will not model everywhere. So it's just going to model the main stems.
Okay, thank you. I want to make a comment about our policy manual. I don't know who's read it and who hasn't, but I've read it. And I understand what I read. And here, in that section that you want to change, you want to change it to move from to satisfy the Montgomery County Drainage Administrator that no adverse impact will result. And the fact of the matter is that in that section, it provides acceptable alternative courses of action. The first one is to provide channel improvements through the area of concern which fully offset the increased flow rate caused by proposed development. In other words, the channel has to be addressed, which I don't think you'd want to take that away. You don't want junk in the channel that's going to keep things backing up like a beaver dam and flooding things. Second thing is, as you said, the detention basin and other acceptable detention systems, which you quoted verbatim. But then there's a third element. Regardless of these studies, the third element is a flood routing study. It doesn't say shall. It says may be performed, which shows that the proposed project will not increase peak flow rates through the critical area. Within this right here, it has enough information that we ought to be able to determine this regardless of where we put the floodplain, whether it's new data or whatever. This is pretty well thought out. And then when it says, and here's the kicker, these three alternative courses of action are not intended to be mutually exclusive. A combination of solutions involving these approaches may be obtained. So, but if we go to just one, we are making it exclusive, and we eliminate the possibility of what we do to clear and how the water flows. And we already have the ability to say, no, that's going to peak. We need more detention. And the fact of the matter is we've already done it on 95% of everything we've done. I would have to concur with these guys of deferring this to another time.
Absolutely.
Jeff, what made you bring this to us now? You being the new county engineer, something that's been on your chest for a while?
We received a report that was commissioned by Harris County.
The Harris County letter you sent
to
us.
To show it was done by HNTB.
Right.
To show what impacts to additional rainfall or flowing would occur if we didn't require any detention at all and for the next 10 years based on our current rate of development. And I initially ignored it because we do require detention on almost all of our developments. But then I remembered this one loophole that allows development without detention, and that's this beat-the-peak scheme that is...
Is it a loophole? Is there a legitimate way to...
I think it is.
It's our policy, Jeff.
If you would allow our engineering department to require a more rigorous regional approach to these studies, we wouldn't have to change the manual at all. But the fact is that this practice has been allowed for at least 13 years that I've been here, and I don't know how long before that, but I don't believe it's a sustainable practice, and I don't think it's in the public interest to allow it to continue.
Well, I don't think anybody sitting up here would do anything that's against the public interest, so I think I'd caution you in using that language to the court. I mean,
well, I don't mean to be inflammatory at all.
Because, my own mother flooded during Harvey. Anything that we can do to try to mitigate flooding, I think everybody is on board for. But also, we have to look at what are the real alternatives. I've had just as many people come to me complaining about this concept. Matter of fact, I've had less support for it than I have people saying, why would you do this? Why would you make this change? Just doesn't seem to be very well thought out. This has worked for some number of years. When you look at Montgomery County in total, Montgomery County doesn't have a flooding problem. We have the same structures that repetitively flood that are all pre-NFIP structures for the most part. And I think the majority of the developers and the developments that have gone in go to great lengths to make certain that they are not going to negatively impact the community or those communities surrounding them.
Commissioner Nowak, not only that, there is in this discussion, other than we looked at a study from Harris County, well, There is study that has been done. The fact of the matter is that they have, we're trying to, they are in an area that automatically flows. It's natural. It's Mother Nature. It's God. However, whatever you want to put to it, automatically flows. And do you know that they have, they just started removing material at West Fork, where 8 or 9 tributaries all flowing at 33,000 cubic feet per second or more, which was a 94 out of the dam record, plus what was coming out of Lake Conroe. That stuff's been sitting there, and since they built the dam in 1953, they have not dredged that one single time. Mm-hmm. You also know that the Army Corps of Engineers never designed it to handle this, and we already have got $50 million that they have waiting to add 10 gates. Now, one gate, or the way they have it structured now, did you know that to lower it 1 foot, it takes 24 hours, that is Lake Houston, in order to allow that to flow through. Do you know that if they just add the gates, that 24 hours, they can lower the entire Lake Houston 1 foot in 1 hour? That's amazing. It was flowing over the dam down there at 8 feet. You realize if they'd had those gates there, it would have lowered that, still flow over, but 3 feet less. Do you realize how much of Kingwood would have been saved because of that? So everybody down there or somewhere, I'm not sure who, is producing studies and pointing up to Montgomery County, and at 95% mm-hmm. detention, we still need to work, no question. But there needs to be a little bit on our part going, hey, you guys, you've talked about this, let's go. So, which is, I think, another issue associated with this. We go on and on and on here.
Do we know when the SJRA study is going to be complete? Anybody know that?
Yes, sir.
Around 2020.
Scheduled fall of 2020.
Fall of 2020.
Yep. That's phase one. You have phase two coming, which is going to put it to 22.
Phase one's done,
22.
Isn't it?
Well, no. There were two different studies. There was the upper watershed study mm-hmm. that completed down to 45. And that was SJRA, Conroe, and Montgomery County. A bulk of that was to help Conroe identify their reservoir operations. That, last I heard, we're waiting for Texas Water Development Board to just finalize the report. So I think that one's almost done. But I don't think that's actually going to give you the information that you're asking for here.
Okay.
The study, the HMGP grant that mm-hmm. the four are a part of, for the regional study, that is slated to end fall of 2020.
Okay. I think it's a great conversation, Jeff. I mean, anytime you have things that can, you know, you can bring to us for conversation and are going to help improve or mitigate flooding in the county is obviously a benefit to everybody. And I think everybody up here would like to see that happen. But
I appreciate you getting out and getting after it right away. Thank you.
And I have one question. I've heard some conversation that this information that came to us from Harris County, not only did they kind of, you know, make sure we received this information, but they I've heard there's also been some conversations being had that if Montgomery County doesn't do this, there may be some legal action, or have you heard anything about Harris County?
Just some rumors. I haven't heard anything in fact.
Because that's one of the things I've heard is that if we don't do something, they'll try to sue us.
Yeah, I heard that.
We have another horror. They'll tell us we can't develop anymore.
Well, they'll open up them 10 gates, and I sure would hate to be below that.
Well, we sure hate to have to go ahead and talk about suing them for having their dam down there and their lake stopped up since 1953.
They're backing water up on us.
Yeah.
Which we didn't find that out. Their city council came up with that after the tax day flood. And they know it right now. And we're trying everybody to work together here.
Yeah.
Pointing fingers one way.
And it's a regional solution. We're working with Harris County right now. They're
right.
in there. airboats running up and down Spring Creek. A lot of people asking why they're in there doing a lot of desnagging. Dredging at some point. When you got that much sand and silt,
dredging is
not going to last long.
It's at West Fork from the flood.
Yeah.
So,
Thank you, Jeff. I think we've a little more work to do, but thanks for the heads
thanks
up.
Thank you.
Thank you for time.
Now, Jeff, are you going to address number one in our public hearing with us?
No, that's going to be Dan.
Dan? Dan, after all that, why don't you come on up?
You're up, Dan.
I'll try to make this a little quicker here.
No problem. All right.
All right, we got a little presentation here. Okay, this part of the public hearing process is to consider and approve some changes to the subdivision rules and regulations made necessary because of House Bill 3167.
Okay.
House Bill 3167 revised the Local Government Code, Chapter 232, which involves platting requirements. And what these changes go into effect September 1st. What the key provisions are that affect us are time constraints. The new law basically sets a 30-day time limit for the county to take action on plat applications.
What does that mean?
Well, we have to take action, either review and or approve a
but
plat.
But if we send it back
days.
To them for problems they have,
right? Yeah, that yeah,
that's
we can review it and but we have to do that in 30 days.
Okay.
How long does it take us now? What's our average?
It varies depending on the workload. Sometimes it takes more than 30 days.
On average,
most,
is it over?
Most time it takes more than 30
yeah.
days.
Yeah, we're a little bit more than 30 days out.
Are there consequences for going over 30 days?
Yes. If we don't meet these time limits, then the plats are considered automatically approved according to the law.
Okay. What is the fee that we charge for... is there a fee that you can charge for reviewing plats?
Yes. I'll sort of...
I know it's down
ahead
in
there.
Here.
Fine. The application fee is currently authorized by the local government code.
Mm-hmm.
We currently charge an application, or we currently charge a fee. We call it a subdivision fee, and it's collected at the end of the plat process.
Mm-hmm.
What we would propose to do is move that to make it a true application fee, move it to the front of the process to come more into alignment with the actual statute.
How much is the...
The fee is based on, there's a base fee plus an amount per lot, and an amount per acre in reserve, and it's calculated with each plat.
So a 500-lot development is...
A 500-lot development would be a couple thousand bucks.
And so do we charge the minimum, midpoint, the maximum of what? Is there a range?
We revised these fees a couple years ago, and at that time I looked at what other counties were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I put us in the middle of...
If we're going to have this arbitrary timeline put on us, I think we should have a fee that is commensurate with that, pass it on to the developers, and use that to have another person in the permit office taking care of this.
Well, the...
reviewing these plats.
Right.
That would be a topic
in engineering.
Well, we're talking about personnel here, aren't we, Dan?
Not necessarily, no.
No?
If you can bear with me for a second, what we're proposing to do, we currently have 80 plats in our office,
mm-hmm.
and they're in varying stages of review and approval and completion. And if we, with the new statute in place, we could technically have 80 different 30-day time periods to keep track of, and then follow that up with 80 different 15-day time periods, because we only have 15 days to re-review once they resubmit. And so it becomes a sort of a logistical nightmare.
Yeah.
And so what we're looking to do is we're looking to set a process up to so we can effectively handle these plats. And we're proposing to specify plat submittal dates, and we're proposing to revise the plat application.
Okay.
For the submittal dates, what we're looking at is one day a week, every Wednesday, we would accept plat submittals. These are both new applications and review responses. We will have people trained in our office to review these submittals for completeness. If they're complete, we'll accept them, and then the clock will start ticking. If they're not complete, we will provide a written reason for them being incomplete. We'll return the package back to the applicant, and the applicant can complete it and resubmit it at a later time. This way we have a little better control and manage the process better.
But they can't submit it until earliest would be the following Wednesday.
Yeah. Well, or they could come back later that Wednesday if they can complete, if they can finish whatever
is necessary. True. But if they don't make it that day.
Then they have to wait a week.
And that's going to speed them up.
Well, it will speed up the reviews.
That's going to help. It will.
It'll speed them up.
Absolutely.
Because they don't want to be delayed 7 days.
I don't mean to interrupt, but one thing, you say sometimes it takes longer than 30 days to review. It really, one thing this process will change is we don't really start reviewing until we get a completed application. We will have plats in various stages and various requirements sitting both first in engineering's office and then up in our office for months at a time, waiting for them to get the bond or to get the lien holder to sign off or whatever. Well, and the whole time, what you may be hearing, well, it's taking forever to get our plats approved. It's not engineering. It's not our office.
Nope.
It's the fact that they haven't submitted a complete application.
BD, I certainly wouldn't say anything.
Oh, I know.
Derogatory against y'all while
ago. Oh, I know that.
I know what the problem is.
Yeah, I was just saying how sometimes perception for people who have submitted plats is at large, it's taken forever to get this done. It's because they're trickling the information in as opposed to having it all when they're ready to submit their plats.
These time limits are on every county, correct?
Yes, every county and city, actually.
All right. So have we looked at any best practices anywhere to see how they're handling it?
No, sir. It's new to everybody.
I got you.
So we're just...
I think it's a good plan. I think it's a smart plan to have a checklist when you hand it to them. If it's all there, we'll get your plat. If it's not, we're going to hand it back to you, let you go back and fix it and bring it back. Okay. I think that's a great plan.
I think we'll see a lot more completed plans the first time they bring them to us.
Yep.
Yes, sir. I think we'll have efficiencies in the process. If we can put this process in place, you mentioned needing more people. I think we can do this if we can get these efficiencies in place. We will not need new people. We will be able to be more efficient because we'll be getting everything together up front.
One day a week.
Now, of course, I'd like to reserve the right to come back to you if I do need more people. Well,
we talked with Jeff about coming potentially back at mid-year. It is a possible that he's going to come back. Yeah. It may be one that we may, in 3 months look at it, and maybe he can't even wait till mid-year. So like I told you guys earlier in the public, when we were talking about the budget policy, if, between me and Doty, if we think, hey, look, there's no way they can handle this. Rakesh and I have kind of reviewed how with them kind of, how the process is going to go, how it's going to change some things. We actually think it may end up being a little bit, even though the fee isn't changing, we do believe we will collect a few more of these plats because right now there's a whole drawer full of plats that we're not even collecting on.
How many plats do you think we'll have between now and March? Just ballpark.
Between now and March?
100, 3,000, I don't know.
Probably additional plats over what we have now. It varies.
I know.
Maybe 50?
50, okay.
Maybe.
Okay.
So, well, I was thinking we could adjust that fee between now and March to facilitate a new employee if we need it in March, but if it's only 50, I don't know what our range can be, and I don't know that we want to do that, but the option's there.
What's the average plat fee? Or how much did we receive last year in fees from plats, Amanda?
Yeah, I'm not sure if we have a number on how much we've received in fees. Do you have?
I'll have to get with when Rakesh gets back, get with him or get with Angie and see if we can come up with a. Because
okay. I think if we saw what the average is, how many plats we receive a year, we can start to look. Because when the state's telling us, hey, you've got to do this, you've got to comply with this, and if you don't, it's automatically approved. I mean, it's something that you're really going to have to pay attention to because I know there's a lot of times these plats have, there's all sorts of things on there we don't want to have automatically approved. It's going to put the onus on us to make sure that they're thoroughly reviewed, and I don't want you having to rush. And I know the guys down there in engineering are working all the time on platting.
Well, I think we receive another benefit of this is that if we can put this process in place, we'll know at the end of every Wednesday how many plats we have in the pipeline.
Yeah,
and we'll be able to allocate resources. We've got a lot of people cross-trained within the department that can take on plat reviews. And so I really believe that we should be able to handle it. But certainly if we reach a point in time in the future where we're saying we're being overwhelmed with this requirement, then at that point maybe we do look at readjusting the application fee and then...
Okay. I bet the state back. Would give us some money to hire another engineer.
Yes, they would. Yes, they would.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Since this is a public hearing, is there any public comment on item A1 that we've just been discussing? If there is none, then we'll close the public hearing. And the one that we're going to take action on is number one, correct?
Judge, I did look up in subdivision fees for 2019 year to date. We've collected $171,000.
Wow.
And so I believe that actually comes from the county clerk's office is the one that actually takes the fee currently. And I can't tell you exactly what the average is because of the way that we it's booked into the finance system, but we can research that information for you guys.
Thank you.
Okay. Would you like to make a motion? To move forward on this? Do I have a motion to move forward on item
21A1.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you all very much. Human resources, next item on our agenda. Dodie?
Do we need to defer A2?
We already did.
If there's no motion.
Oh, no. Yeah, there's no.
If you don't take action.
Got it. No action.
Gentlemen, please consider and approve the payroll change request form.
Move.
Second. All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
All right, at this time, our executive session, the court will recess for executive session pursuant to one or more of the following provisions of the Texas Government Code, to wit, Chapter 551, Subchapter D, Articles 551.074, 551.076.
And
we have deferred item A, but we have number B.
Yes, and we've deferred O.
Is B was deferred as well?
No. We've deferred under 074, is what I'm saying.
Hmm?
Say that again.
We have deferred the section 551074 because it's the first item.
Okay.
I think we're good.
We deferred it, the first item.
The first item. Yeah, the first item was deferred.
We're recessing only pursuant to 076.
I'm sorry. Okay, so there's okay. Then let me correct that. It's not. It is Articles 551.076. Correct. Thank you. Executive session. There is no action to be taken. And we are coming to the end of our session. Do we have any? Are there any citizens that Eric Yalick? We have you down to come in as our citizen to make comments.
Oh. My name's Eric Yalick. I live in Precinct 3, Judge, Commissioners. I once read somewhere that thinking is an act of choice. And today's Golden Hammer Award goes to Commissioner Charlie Riley, who represents Precinct 2. Commissioner Riley has given a couple of speeches in the last couple of weeks about mobility, in which he has, I think, counted on the fact that the audience would not think. Now, Precinct 2 is a mobility nightmare. It's just gridlock all day long. It's not just during the rush hour. It's even in the middle of the day. At an August 19th Magnolia Area Republican Women meeting, Commissioner Riley spoke about the need for Montgomery County to issue additional road bonds so that he can work to clean up the mess that he's overseen for the last two decades. Apparently, Commissioner Riley wants to ask for hundreds of millions of dollars in additional road bonds. But Montgomery County submitted, and it wasn't just this county government, it's my understanding that it was other governmental entities as well for our county, submitted $198 million of road projects to the HDAC, and we only got $25 million in funding. Now, I talked to a couple of the members of the Transportation Policy Council and asked them what's going on, and what they said is that unfortunately our representative to HDAC just doesn't show up for meetings. In the last seven meetings, he's missed three of the seven meetings, and in the most recent meeting in July, he attended for the roll call and then left. And look at the results. Liberty County submitted $198 million in projects, received $54 million in grants. Brazoria County, $395 million in projects, $113 million in grants. We, or actually this county for us, submitted $198 million and received $25 million in grants.
Our county is losing a fortune because we're not showing up for HGAC meetings. Commissioner Riley is costing the taxpayers of this county a fortune. Please don't come to us with a road bond until you get the federal and the state money that all of us pay as taxpayers into those governments first. Commissioner Riley is getting the golden hammer today, but if he needs a golden alarm clock to remind him to come to the meeting, I'd be happy to bring one to his office. Thank you.
All right, so are there any miscellaneous comments at the end? Yes, ma'am. Thank you for being patient.
I know I only have 3 minutes, Judge and Commissioners, so I'm going to try to go fast, excuse me. But I wrote out a request to talk about two things on under I-9I, and I got lost in the shuffle, so I'm going to do it now. But I'm going to delete number 3, I-3-9I-3. I did not put the number 9 on my form, I must admit, okay. But there's only one 9 in the whole paperwork, but one I. But anyway, I have a situation I encountered, and I wanted the enforcement officers to hear my spiel. But what I'm going to say is there's a neighbor two doors down from me that acts bizarrely and appears very threatening. I called the mental health department, and let me interject that I chose to speak on the reappointment of this board of director person under I-1 instead of under O-1, 2, and 3, and 4, because those people are clinical, and this is an administrative issue. So anyway, I called the mental health, County Mental Health, and I got the complete runaround. And as a see something, say something time, I think this is very concerning. This guy's acting really bizarrely, and I won't go into the details, but it's really aberrant stuff. He's not actively trying to kill me or not actively trying to kill someone else, but he is acting aberrantly, and I just got the runaround when I called on the phone. I think it was, I'm going to excuse me, say a secretary or an admin person that was just giving me the absolute runaround. Finally, after arguing and discussing with her for several minutes, she said a clinician would call me back. That was 2 weeks ago. I still haven't heard anything. So I called the non-emergency number for the sheriff, and they were kind enough to call me back. But they instructed me if he doesn't have to be, you know, actively killing you or actively killing someone else, but if there's some guy acting weird in your neighborhood, just tell us where he is and we'll come out and do a welfare check. That's perfect. But by the time the police or the sheriff would get to the location, the guy would be in the forest, you know, hiding someplace or, you know, a mile or two down someplace else, and they would never, you know, my location would never be accurate. So there's a real big disconnect between the citizens of the community reporting aberrant behavior to mental health, and then the poor sheriff department getting, you know, networking with them for, you know, welfare checks. And I wanted to bring it to the commissioner's court publicly, yeah. So you'll be aware that I, as a citizen, and I'm sure if I'm having this problem as forceful as I am, a lot of other citizens in the community will have problems with this. See something, say something.
Right.
Thank you.
Are you Linda Harper?
Yes, I am.
Well, thank you for coming today, and you're lucky the sheriff is in the room, so hopefully he'll visit with you on your topic.
And I really do feel sorry for them. You know, it's a mental health issue, and I think they're dropping the ball, and I think there can be better planning. Thank you.
Linda, thank you so much. Are you done?
Yes. Okay. Yes, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Yes, ma'am. If you'd come on and state your name and your purpose, if you would, please.
My name's Jerry Matthews, and the topic I would like to talk to you about is Southline Road. It's a residential rural street that is 0.8 mile long in Precinct 2. There are numerous deer, horses, chickens, tractors, and all the things that you expect to see in a small rural neighborhood. Unfortunately, it connects to I-45 Feeder Road, the BMW dealership, the Woodlands Park and Ride, Gosling Sports Field, and Gosling Road. It is also runs parallel to Research Forest Drive and 242 and is used as an alternate route instead of using those major roads. South Line was never meant to be a major thoroughfare. If you've ever used the navigation app called Waze, it is also one of the most popular routes to take. Not only has the traffic increased tremendously, it has also become a racetrack. With it being almost a mile long, it also has no stop signs or speed bumps, which is perfect for speeding. From BMW test drives, soccer parents late for pickup, commuters cutting through to get home, and also large trucks cutting through to and from the feeder road. My next-door neighbors moved in recently, and I saw the family with small children trying to ride their bikes on South Line. Cars speeding by, not even slowing down for them. They gave up, and I've never seen them attempt it again. I also saw an elderly walker stepping towards the ditch in attempt to get away from a speeding driver. Between the afternoon hours of 4 to 7, Monday through Friday, I feel that I'm in a parade with so many cars. On weekends, it's any time of the day to get to Gosling Sports Field or the feeder road. The problem is continual any time of the day. I once had a car attempt to pass me while I was driving on South Line and also had a car honk at me while I had my blinker on turning into my own driveway. South Line Road speed limit is 25 miles an hour, and that speed is completely ignored and without any thought or concern for our neighborhood they are speeding through. The sound of engines accelerating, picking up speed, drowns out the quiet, once peaceful neighborhood. Speeds on the street are more like 45 or 50. Just last week, a deer was hit by a vehicle, which is becoming more common. So many neighbors have given up trying because no one is listening to our concerns. I contacted the Precinct 2 Commissioner's office to explain my concern, and the next day, they set up speed monitor, which I do appreciate, on one side of the road for a week. When people see that, of course they slow down. However, other vehicles sped by ignoring the monitor. After a week, it was gone and nothing has been done. I also contacted the commissioner's office about getting additional speed signs, but was told they already have the minimum needed, which is one in each direction. I was also told to call the sheriff's office if there was a problem, but when you call, you have to start from the beginning every time to explain the problem.
I don't mean to be rude.
Am I over my three?
Yes, because we thank you for being here today, and we're concerned with you.
All right, thank
you. So thank you for coming and sharing that with us.
That's a beautiful neighborhood, Lakeland, that whole area over there. It's great.
Thank you very much. I practiced, and I got it down to three. Apparently, I was a little too slow.
Well, it's okay.
Thank you.
We appreciate it very much. All right. That is the end of our commissioner's court today. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
Move.
No.
Second? All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you all very much.